Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety and environment learning into simple bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business or your career, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. Hey there, thanks for tuning in to this podcast. It's a bit different for us to be doing this one. It's part of a blog post that we're doing. I decided that obviously with safety providing some podcast services to businesses and going through that process, which has been really fun and we have some really exciting stuff set up for 2020, it would be maybe beneficial for us to put a bit of a resource out to let you know about sort of podcasting a bit more and in terms of actually how to do it, to give you a rundown of some simple steps that you can go through just to test the water and see if it's going to fit your business and see if it would be of any benefit. I think for one that podcasting certainly is now here to stay, and not only from the point of view of being good for a business if you're marketing or you're trying to educate your audience, but certainly from the point of view of internal communications within businesses, I think there's a massive opportunity there, and that's where we're working with some people are looking to innovate and use podcasting as a way to communicate. So that's super. So to get you up and running with your first podcast production, if you have the time and you want to make the effort to learn how to do it, it's not overly complex, but if you're someone who isn't really tech savvy, it might be, you know, it might seem like a bit of a step for you to go through the process. And certainly to make something of quality isn't necessarily easy. So what we've done is we broke it down to its most simplest steps. And because we're focused on helping businesses with their internal communications to use podcasts, we've taken out a lot of the stuff that you would normally see with any online guidance that you would look up relating to things like doing album covers and getting it onto iTunes, you know, all that type of stuff that just adds to the workload. And really, if you're using it just as a communications tool, you won't really have to worry about that. So we've stripped all that down. We've created a six-step process that you can walk through just to create your first piece of audio that you can then share with your audience and get a bit of feedback to see if it's something that they would find valuable. Podcasting has become hugely popular across the globe. So this time, you know, it's the second wave, I guess, of podcasting. There was a bit of a surge a number of years ago, and the technology just wasn't there for it to be widely adopted as it is being now with the use of smartphones and all the sort of sharing platforms and apps that exist. But, you know, the beautiful thing about it is that it's just going back to something that we've done for millennia, and that is just communicating through the human voice. It's certainly nothing new, but it's the way we're consuming it that has changed, and that's where I think there's a huge opportunity for you if you're a business leader to start communicating, particularly, as I say, if you have an audience that is spread across a geographic region, or it's just not easy to get everyone at the, you know, the same place at the same time. And once you get it up and running, you know, can form a part of a broader communications mix within your business to really help engage your employees. And that's why I think it's useful for us to provide this resource for you and hopefully get you up and running and get you to test the water with it. Okay then, so if you want a few more suggestions as to why you should invest the time and resource into making a podcast for your business, I have put up a short video on the safety.com blog page related to this podcast, which is at safety.com/how-to-make-a-podcast-for-business, and there should be a link to it at the bottom of this page. If you're on the podcasting platforms, you can take a look at that if you want to sort of have that as a means for discussion, or if you're trying to justify investing time in this within your business, then hopefully that'll give you a wee bit more information. Okay, so let's bounce on to our six-step process for making a podcast. So as we were saying, we don't think the process needs to be quite as complicated as what you might see in some of the online resources, certainly not when it comes to using it as an internal communications tool for business. And that's why we've crunched it down into a simple six-step process for you to try out. Now, some of the decisions that we made around how you go about it are based around our focus on quality. And I'm very much a proponent of the quality needs to be right. Otherwise, the communication can get lost. And I have met some of our clients in particular have said to us, you know, look, we tried to create a podcast on a phone or, you know, on some piece of equipment and the quality was just too poor that we couldn't share it. And so that's something that we try and help businesses overcome with our expertise. But as you'll see through this process that I've created for you, that hopefully you'll be able to make something that's good enough quality to share, certainly as a starter for 10 anyway, using some basic equipment. So let's get into the first step here. The first thing you're going to need to do is find something to record into. And by that, of course, we mean a microphone. Yes, that sounds simple on the surface, but when it comes to microphones, there's loads of choice, almost too much out there, and it can be really confusing. So I guess what I've said in the blog post and what I'll reiterate here is that the important thing is getting one that provides a good enough quality outcome for your needs. So firstly, I want to just demonstrate, as I have on the online resource, the difference in quality that can exist between different types of microphone. Hopefully you can hear, we are using the Rode PodMic here at the moment, and hopefully you can hear that the quality is pretty good with that. Just to give you a context of what other methods might sound like, we'll press play on our little soundbite that we've created for the blog post here, which actually, I used a Dell laptop that I'm using, which is actually a really high spec laptop that probably has decent sound equipment on it. I'm not sure of the exact specifications, but I'll give you an idea of sort of what type of result you would get if you were using the mic on your laptop, for example, which you would hope that you would avoid this. But just to give you an idea, here's a sample of it. Okay, so the first example we have of a microphone is just using the laptop. I have a fairly new Dell laptop that is pretty high spec. So the microphones and all the systems on it are probably about as good as you'll get on the market today. But hopefully this gives you an idea of the quality that you would be expecting to record if you were just recording it directly from your laptop. It's probably not something that you'd want to use ongoing, certainly, but you could use it for a test. But hopefully this gives you a nice context as to what the level of quality can be. Alrighty, as you can see, the quality with the laptop itself wasn't very good. Hopefully there's a massive difference, as you can hear, between the microphone that I'm using and the laptop itself. So as a secondary one, as I was saying earlier, sometimes clients have tried to use phones as well, just some of the headsets and earbuds and so on that they get with some of our high-tech phones. And I've used the Huawei P20 Pro, which I use as an example of that, just again as a comparative sound test. So let's listen to that one in comparison to our laptop, see if it's any better. Okay, so this is our microphone with the Huawei P20 Pro phone and just the regular earbud setup with it. At the moment, I'm just in the studio, just to give you an idea of what sort of quality that you would get from this type of device. I'm going to walk through into a hallway here just to see how it impacts the sound, as the studio is quite good in terms of the setup, naturally, as you would expect. Now, I'm walking just into a kitchen area that is a bit more open. Plenty of soft furnishings around. There's a kitchen area and just a seating area and so on. You probably haven't experienced too much of a change in the sound quality, I wouldn't expect, but just to give you an idea of how it can fluctuate depending on your environment. Now we're in another room, still again, plenty of soft furnishings. What I'll do is actually I'll walk into a bathroom area just so you can hear what that sounds like as well, with no soft furnishings. So we're in the bathroom area now. You probably hear a lot more echo, and this type of microphone will pick up that echo and that lack of absorption in a room much easier, or much worse, should I say, than what a high quality microphone would. So we'll go back into the studio here, and hopefully that gives you an idea of the sound quality that you'll get out of just using regular earbuds. These aren't bad, to be quite honest, but you're not going to get anywhere near the same quality that you would with a good microphone. Okay, so that gives you hopefully an idea of the difference in sound quality that you can expect with different microphones. And I didn't test out a headset, a regular sort of Skype style headset there, because The Sennheiser one that I have, for some inexplicable reason, the microphone has just stopped working. So that's another tip, is to have a spare if you are recording, because sometimes obviously the technology fails us. But before we go on from that, I think it goes without saying that it is certainly worth, hopefully, you know, you've seen that from what you've listened to, that it's certainly worth investing in, you know, something decent when it comes to the microphone, because the result from it speaks for itself. We do like the Rode equipment, which is a manufacturer in Australia, who make really robust, good quality stuff, that's, you know, is quite dependable and has great warranty and so on. It can be reasonably expensive or difficult to get at times, because it is quite popular. But if you're just starting off, you know, there's plenty of options out there. If you're just starting out with microphones or with podcasting, you want to try it out, but you want something of decent quality, what I would recommend is using or purchasing a USB microphone that can just be plugged directly into a computer or a laptop, and used without any other interface or anything else, such as what we would use would be a dynamic interface, which is a bit more complex and sort of higher level than the USB microphones. But you should get a good enough result out of the USB microphone to get you up and running for sure. One of the ones that's very popular out there is the Blue Yeti, and we're not an affiliate of Blue, but they certainly seem to have a microphone that is popular choice for many beginners, and it has handy features like changing the recording focus if it's just one person to multiple people, or if you're sitting in a room full of folks, then you can adjust the settings to suit that. So have a look there is a link on our podcast or on our blog post page to the Blue Yeti if you want to find out more information, or you can just punch it into Google and you'll see how much one of those is currently retailing for. Okay, so once you've got your microphone picked out and purchased, or if you already have one, of course, then even better. You will need to make sure you have a decent pair of headphones or a headset that you can listen back to your recording on. So again, these vary in terms of quality. Some of the headsets, when it comes to listening back to your recording, won't give you the most crisp sound. But if you do have a Skype style headset already, my suggestion would be, you know, to test that out, see what sort of quality you're getting from it, and you'll be able to do that once you get a recording software up and running, which is our next step. The next step then is finding something to record on, and by that I mean just something to pick up your audio recording and have it take away and turn into the type of file that you'll be able to listen to and edit and obviously share. So what we would suggest for this, it could be an app on your phone, a dictaphone, or you're recording directly from your laptop. Most of us have a laptop or a computer if we're working in business, I would hope. So if you do have that option, what we would suggest is downloading free software such as Audacity, which we have used quite a bit in the past, and it's relatively easy to use, certainly if you're not getting into too much, you know, editing detail or complexity, then you should be able to download it, and we'll put a link in the show notes for you here and on our blog post page as well for you to go and download that. And there are plenty of excellent online tutorials on YouTube that you can, you know, watch for 10 or 15 minutes to give you the basic rundown of how to use that. We'll hopefully be posting a version of that ourselves as well, so keep an eye out for that on this blog post page. They'll basically teach you everything, you know, you need to know as far as simply editing your clip, listening to it back, just sharpening it up a bit to take out any rough parts and bits you don't want your audience listening to. So give yourself a bit of time to familiarize yourself with that software. Watch a tutorial video, as I say, and hopefully it'll give you enough information just to get you up and running and be able to record. Rightio then, our third step is just to plan the session. So this is really getting into the nuts and bolts of making your content, which can be as simple or complicated as you want to make it when it comes to your first try. So what I would suggest is just, first of all, think about what it is you're trying to convey or communicate. What are you trying to say? You might need to get some help from your colleagues or friends. I would suggest it's certainly usually more interesting if you have more than one person involved in the recording itself, albeit, you know, I'm doing a mono podcast here, but you know, when it comes to producing content that you want to get people engaged into within a business, then our advice would be to get a small team together and get as many people to contribute as possible if you can. You know, if not, just come up with something. You may have existing material or content that you've communicated as a means of learning for your audience, for example, or you may have something planned in the near future that you're going to share. Why not create a podcast version of that and send it out with it? And then you can ask for feedback on that. That's a fantastic way to test the water as well. If you do have other people, you know, getting involved in the process with you, it does tend to take the pressure off you a wee bit. You know, a lot of us are reluctant to do this type of thing just through fear of not being good at it and getting on the microphone and so on. It's not not to be sniffed at. So the other thing is too, if you have other people, you know, from a project perspective, that you'll have that additional accountability to get over the line and get something out there. When you're looking at your content then and planning the session, the outcome really that you want from it is to come up, I would say, with four or five main bullet points around the topic or information that you're trying to share. And it's entirely up to you in terms of how long you want your podcast to be. I would suggest 10 or 15 minutes as, you know, as a showpiece, as a pilot would be easy enough for you to test the water on it. But again, it depends on your specific context. When it comes to creating the content itself and making it an impactful piece of content, there's a few things that I would think about, and here they are. Number one is make sure you understand your audience. Who is it that you're actually communicating to? Be empathetic and understanding of what their needs are, their wants and their preferences. You know, make sure that you have them in mind when you're producing the content. What do they want to hear? You know, do they want to hear from you, or would it be better to get one of their direct colleagues in to give their views on whatever it is you're trying to communicate, or to have an active discussion amongst various people, for example? The second thing then is to ask, you know, have you actually reached out to them, out to the audience that you're going to be communicating to, and just ask them, is this something that's going to be valuable for you? And if so, you know, what would be the most valuable way that it could be communicated, or how would you like it to be communicated? That in itself is very simple, but it's going to help you avoid many of the pitfalls of making content and making something that's too instructional and too authoritarian, which I think is, you know, there's the wrong direction to go with this. But again, it's up to yourself. Number three then is tell a story. If you have an opportunity to talk about a piece of learning or something that's happened recently in your business that you can use to contextualize and make this piece of content real and align it to what is actually going on within your organization, then, you know, use that. Make sure that to pull that information out. That's interesting, it's relevant to the people, and it'll certainly engage your audience much better. The fourth thing then is just going back to what I've already said about making sure to collaborate with other people within your business. If you can, not everybody will be able to do this, but if you can get different perspectives to add depth to the content, and you know, that will in itself engage your audience better and make it, you know, not just as if it's coming from one person. Again, one person talking is a bit more instructional like this is. So my suggestion would be get more people involved if you can. Fifth and finally then, the last thing just to make sure not to forget is to keep your content focused. So if you're planning it, when you're going through the session, make sure everyone is in agreement with what your focus or the intended outcome of the content is to begin with, and keep that as your broad headline, and that'll guide you. It'll help you, you know, make sure that you achieve what you want from the piece, and will be much easier to go through the creative process when you have that established in the first place. Okay then, so by this stage, you'll have planned your content, you'll have identified who's going to be involved in the creative process when it comes to recording it. The next step really, if you're familiar, hopefully, with your software, you've got your microphone, everything in place, you've picked somewhere to actually do the recording as well, which we'll go on to, is to actually record it. And hopefully, you know, you've got to a point where you're a bit more confident as to what you want to get out of it. And you've got all your contributors together, you've got your thoughts aligned, and you've scribbled a few ideas as to how you want the conversation to go. A few tips on picking a suitable area for your podcast to be recorded, because it's something that can be overlooked, but very much in my experience, it's something you should really consider beforehand. And there's a few things to think about. First one is that the smaller the room that you can get for the recording to take place is usually better, because that reduces the risk of echo and noises. It should improve the sound quality, essentially, just as you would have in a studio setting. The second thing is soft furnishings, as you maybe heard in some of the sound tests that we've done with the various microphones. Soft furnishings and absorptive material are certainly a good thing. Anything that insulates the sound and helps soften that output is certainly good. So just bear that in mind when you are selecting an area. If you find a suitable small room that doesn't have any soft furniture or anything in it, you know, look around, see if you can bring anything in. You will find that this actually increases your quality quite substantially. The third thing then as well is just to make sure to limit external noise. A couple of ways to do this is, well, first of all, pick an area where there shouldn't be any interruption and there's not too much external movement, whether that's above you and on the ceilings or just in the surrounding areas. If there's, you know, exit doors and a lot of foot traffic, then that's going to interrupt your audio and going to, you know, diminish the sound quality and the output that you're going to get. But also as well as that, make sure that people in the surrounding area know what you're doing, that, you know, they're aware of a recording that's taking place, and therefore, you know, put a sign up, send an email around, whatever you need to do, and hopefully they'll give you that half an hour, an hour, whatever it is you need, and be conscious of not making too much noise during the process, because that can really throw you off and throw your concentration off when you're doing the recording as well. Just remember as well, we're not looking for perfection here, and quality will come with time if you do begin to do this as a process. So don't get too hung up on getting it perfect at this point. We've given you a few really good tips, hopefully, as to how you can get something of good enough quality. And as you go through the process over and over again, that will be something that will continue to improve. And also, it's very worthwhile before you do get up and running to test a piece of audio. So record, you know, a general bit of conversation when you've sat down with your group or on your own, whatever it is you're recording. Test the sound out, listen to it back before you press record and go for it. Step five then, we're going to make a big assumption that everything has went swimmingly during your recording process, which of course may or may not be true, but we hope that goes smoothly for you. And then at that point, really, it's just a case of listening to your audio back and seeing what sort of end product that you have, at which point you can then edit if you have gone through that little tutorial process within whatever software that you're using. You should be able to edit some of the areas that maybe you're not too happy with or that you don't want to be included. You can remove things like, you know, silences that go on for too long, you know, noises that don't need to be included. If there's a lot of hemming and hang and different bits and pieces, you can sharpen it up. And you can let, of course, someone else listen to it for an objective view on it before you start taking pieces out, because I think the inclination is, if you're listening to yourself back, that you'll try and make yourself sound as good as possible, which ultimately can lead to you just actually sounding unnatural, which isn't what we want either. So that's something to be aware of. Take them bits out that don't add value, remove any fluff, and of course, if you need to add anything in at the start as an intro or the end as a conclusion, then you're able to do that. Once you've listened back to the content, it's usually the best time to do that. Then you can summarize it for your audience. And that's where, you know, the software like Audacity comes in, and it's very useful to use once you get a handle on it. So hopefully you've produced something by this stage that is, you know, good enough for you, and you'll be able to convert your file that you have on Audacity to an MP3 file, which is quite easily done, and that then becomes something that can be played on most computers effectively. Really, it's up to you then just to share it with your audience. It's very important to decide what is the best way to communicate this. You might have an existing platform or app that people actually communicate amongst themselves on within your business, like Slack or Yammer, WhatsApp, etc., etc. There's lots of options out there, or it might just simply be a case of using an email with an appropriate tag or headline title and putting a high priority flag on it just to make sure it gets people's attention. You don't want it being lost in the crowd of emails that people get, and you want to make sure that people engage with it. You might want to talk to your IT department if you have one to find out if there's a way to actually measure the open rates on it as well, or the listen rates. And of course, that's something that we help clients with. There are ways and means of tracking that level of engagement and so on. But that's something you can look at and develop going forward. And this little six-step process is just a means of testing it out to see if it will work for your business, to see if your employees like it, and to see if it's something of value that you can use into the future. So that's it for our six-step process to help you get your first podcast up and running within your business as a means of communicating and getting engagement with your audience. And you can use it in any way you want, whether that's HSE related or not. Hopefully this gives you just enough information that you need. And we are going to be increasing the resources on each of those steps as we go forward to make that resource even better for you. But if you do have any questions, then please don't hesitate to reach out to us by getting in touch via info@safety.com, or you can simply use the contact form at the bottom of the blog post page for this podcast, and we'll look forward to chatting to you and helping you with this one. So for now, I wish you all the best of luck and look forward to see what you come up with, and look forward to speaking to some of you too as you go through this process of making your first podcast. Thanks very much for listening. See you soon. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.